All right. Thank you, Sister Conklin. We appreciate the good message and song. What an analogy that is. You know, God knows what he's doing. He's in charge of the garden. Amen. Plant us where he wants to. Well, it's been good to see a few folks getting back, and it was good to have Brother Lester Sedan, a pastor, with us. He doesn't come very often, but once in a while, and pray for them as they travel back. This is kind of heavy. I'll tell you the truth. I believe Brother David Yeager gave this. Did you do it, David? He mentioned to me this morning that that gift was no good without something to go with it. And so I do appreciate it. Anyway, also have another visiting preacher that was with us in the Bible conference, and that's, of course, Brother Vince Buttons. And he's from up there in West Virginia, First Baptist Church of Pinch, and that's just kind of outside ways, not too far outside of Charleston. If you've been to Charleston, you can't help miss the big Golden Dome. You think you've arrived in Moscow when you get up there and see that. But he's doing a good job up there. I can't believe how long he's been there already, because it seems like he graduated our college here just a little while ago. I walked up, and he and Brother Hill were talking about some of the old times. I didn't want to listen too close. He might have been outside the rules while he was doing some of that. Brother Vince, I want you to come up and preach to us, please. We're so glad to have you. And, of course, our church knows Brother Buttons very well, so we're so glad that he could come, drive all the way down, spend some time in the Bible conference with us.
I said I'm going to have a meeting with the college after service here in a little bit. I thought, what'd I do? I thought, well, I'm right in school, okay. I get nervous when I see a policeman sit out there, or when I hear any kind of meeting with the principal or something. I thought, what did I do? I didn't do nothing this time, but well, it was me. Take your Bibles, if you would. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. I want to say, you're looking at one blessed individual standing here before you. I don't know how else to say it. 30 years ago, the summer of 86, my wife and I moved down here to Haines City for the purpose to start that fall in Bible college. It's been four of the wonderful years the Lord let me have right here. My whole universe for 4 years was right here. I lived to the apartments across the road there. I'd walk to school. I used to have a orange grove. Then last winter, I said they had that big freeze, but I'd walk through there and grab my breakfast. You know. I talked to the harvester one time, and he said it's against the law because of canker. He said, but nobody'll see you. And I said, well, I'm so tiny, I could slip in and out, and they'd never see me. So, but I'd walk to school. Walk to church, walk to work. Brother Carter put me to work over at the village there, and that's what I've ever done since I was big enough, construction. And I worked the radio station. It's been truly a landmark in my life, landmark has. I go back to it in my heart a lot of times. I pastor my church with the foundations that I learned right here. Wife and I, once in a while, we often say we love to go back and just camp right here, serve God here. We love y'all, really do, and appreciate it. I appreciate what God's given me. Appreciate this man here. I remember calling my dad one time. I hadn't been here too long, just first summer. Got the experience of camp and helped clean it up and volunteered to clean. And I remember telling my dad, I said, that preacher is a man. Son, he barked orders at us and, oh, I have to shovel this and do that. And I said, I didn't know preachers could behave that way. I just didn't know. It was all new to me. I liked it. And we've worked together a lot. He's barked at me a whole bunch in them 4 years, one reason or another. But I'm glad for it. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, we have the story here of Peter. Of course, We're pretty familiar walking on the water, but I want to share a thought with you if I can. Well, it's been a good conference. God's really charged my batteries. I thank him for that. 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain part to pray, and when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, and the winds was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit," and they cried out for fear. Straightway Jesus spake unto them, said, "Be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." He said, "Come on, come." And when Peter come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, where didst thou doubt?" And then when he came into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying of the truth, "Thou art the Son of God." Father, we thank you for the privilege to read your word, to take a few moments now and ask you to help our hearts and direct it in the direction you have them to go. If there be one here tonight that doesn't know your Savior, we ask you, Lord, you might talk to that heart and let them know tonight would be an awful good night to come and get it settled and get saved. But for the many in the house that's yours, give us what we need. May we leave, Lord, obedient to you. For I ask these things in your sweet name. Amen. I'm going to ask you this question, and we'll get to it here. What would you like to do for God? The Bible says that Peter in verse 28 answered, said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid thou me come into the water." He said, "Come." I see here a revival. I see a boat. It could be you, your home, could be a church. I see it right in the midst of the right in the middle of God's perfect will against the contrary winds of this world. Every church has got anything at all, they're contrary to what's going on out there. We're struggling. We've got our beliefs and our faith, and we're fighting the winds that bucket us and hitting us from on contrary, just different towards us. Your home, you got battles there you fight. Your personally, you got contrary winds battling you. And I see a church, when I look at that boat, that's in a spirit of survival and not revival. I don't like that. I've been just finished 25 years there at Pinch, and I like it when we're in the spirit of revival, when things are going right and adding. And I don't like them spirits of survival. Folks are nippy, grumpy, critical. We're just trying to stay on course. Right in the middle of God's will, but contrary, just fighting and fussing. You can hear them in the boat. Here's Thomas. "Well, they'll never make it over to the other side." The sons of Zebedee, "We're the only ones working. We're the only ones getting anything done. And you ain't rowing hard enough. What's going on?" And all the fussing because they're in the spirit of survival instead of revival. But then if you jump down to verse 33, there's revival. The Bible says that they were in the ship, came and worshiped, saying the truth, "Thou art the Son of God." They went from a spirit of survival to a spirit of revival because one person asked to do something. Yeah. That was old Peter. Now you know you're in a bad spirit of survival and you're in trouble as a person or as a church when the presence of the Lord shows up and it scares you. I mean, the presence of the Lord showed up and they were scared. The average church today, the Lord show up like that, it'd scare them to death. Amen. When he showed up, Pete looked out there. He said, "Is that you? Is that you, Lord?" "It's me, Pete." And he asked, let me walk out there on the water to you, Jesus. And Jesus said, "Come." And I don't know how far he walked, but he walked far enough to call it a walk and not a step. He walked. I was about to beat the piano, or half, I don't know, but he was walking on the water to go to Jesus. He didn't say, "Lord, is that you?" "Yeah, it's me, Pete." "All right, well, how about having Andrew walk to you?" He didn't do that. Like we like to do. Or, you know, fellas, I'm thinking about asking the Lord if I should walk out in the water and take a pole of the boat. You think I should do that? Stick your finger out in the wind, see what's going on. He didn't do that either. But rather, he just said, "Lord, is that you?" And he said, "Yeah, it's me, Pete." He said, "Come on, walk." He'd ask for nobody but himself. I love that once in a while. I'm out preaching or something like that, and somebody will say, talk to me afterwards, and they want to get critical about their church for some reason. I'm the visiting evangelist. I'm coming here to help them, and they're going to catch me in the corner and try to get critical. They don't realize I'm preaching on them tomorrow night. Yeah. They don't understand. I've been praying, "God, wishing I preach the next night." I know now. And they'll say something like this. "Well, preach your button, because I'll try to encourage some of their kind of quiet church. Say amen, say amen." I like it when I hear people say amen. So, I remember when the church used to shout. I wish we'd shout more. I said, "Do you really like shouting?" "Yeah." "Well, start shouting." "Are you going to be a spectator the rest of your life? Or why don't you get in there and do something?" "You like a shout? Shout. We got something to shout about." Amen. Amen. Peter went that way. Peter said, "Hey, bid me. May I come?" Jesus said, "Come on." And that one movement started a revival on that boat. Now, you notice Jesus didn't come walking on the water to the boat saying, "Anybody want to come out here with me?" The Lord did not initiate this. Here's where you need to listen up. It was not initiated, but Jesus didn't say, "Whosoever want to come walk on the water?" He never said nothing. He just showed up like he's here tonight. Peter initiated it. Peter is the one that started the whole conversation. Peter is the one that asked permission. Asked for the ability, the help. Now, Peter knew he couldn't do it himself. He knew somebody had to do it for him. Are you hearing me? The Bible tells us there in Romans 12 that the brethren, talking about the saved now, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present yourself." You present yourself. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Oh, acceptable, perfect will of God. I watched this week Brother Carter get presented that rifle for the shells. Now, had the brother come up and said, "There's a rifle here, who wants it?" I'd have got there. But they didn't do it that way. They took it and they presented it to the preacher. Yeah. "Here it is, here it's yours." Presented it. On purpose. Peter presented himself. "Here I am, Lord. May I? Can I? Would it be your will if I? Will you let me?" What do you want to do for God? Now, some of you got to be here these nights and days and preaching. You can't help but want to do something when God's around. That's good. I mean, when Peter said, "Is that you, Lord?" The presence of the Lord was there. When the presence of the Lord's there, you've got to do something. That's why some people don't know what to do. They just shout a little bit, or sometimes they run laps. You ever been around and say, "Sir, I get some service." They, folks just get happy, take off running. I was at a meeting one time, and a fellow got running. I was sitting on the side of some big preacher's meeting, and he said, "Come on, Brother Button, come on." I said, "I don't run." "I run laps in my heart, but I don't run." Where I live, about a half a mile up the holler, and I walk back. I walk. I like to walk. I do it in the dark. I get up early, 5 o'clock, or I don't know what time it'll be now. It's changing on me. But I walk in the dark. I don't like to walk with people watching me. If I get up too late, I walk in the gym next to me. We're at church and gymnasium. I walk here. I like to walk. I don't run. Got daylight on me one time, and I'm walking back, and car pulls over. "Hey, preacher, you need a ride?" "No, I'm okay." They're out of sight, another car. "Hey, preacher, you need a ride?" "I'm all right." About the third time, a guy stops, talks to me a little bit. I said, listen, I'm just, the doc says this is good for me, okay? So that's what I'm doing this for. I said, but now, since you stopped, if you ever see me running, help me. You see me walking, leave me alone. But if you ever see this boy running, help this boy. Peter said, Lord, may I, the presence of God said, I've got to do something. May I do this? So the Lord says, come on, Pete, come on. Now, what do you want to do? You want to do anything for God? Is there something in your heart you've been kind of aching to do? And maybe even, I've never done that before. It's always a first. And you'd kind of like to ask. And you know, if God tells you it's okay, he'll give you the ability to do it. The Lord didn't help Peter walk on the water. The Lord done it. Peter couldn't do it by himself, no matter what, no helping. He just did it. I want to give you four things real quick, and we'll go home. For those of you that are doing something or want to do something for God, here's what I want you to remember. Number one, remember this. Before you get into that something, make sure it's God's will for you to do it. Just because Peter did it doesn't mean you should do it. Peter had to minister to the Jews and Israel. Saul comes on the scene, becomes Paul. God tells him, go to Rome. Paul wanted to go to the Jews. He went to the Jews. He wasn't supposed to. Amen? So God got him to Rome. I often wonder how history recorded if he would have went then like he's supposed to. Who knows? But just because Peter did it don't mean you ought to do it that way. There are some things that's a one-size-fits-all will of God. For instance, if you're lost, it's God's will for you to be saved. I don't care who you are, where you've been, what you've done, what you plan to do. God wants you saved. He's not willing that any should perish, all should come to repent. So I can walk with anybody, anywhere, and say, I know one thing God wants you. He wants you saved. That's God's will. If you're saved, he wants you baptized. He wants you in a good New Testament Baptist church like we have right here. If you're in church, he wants you faithful. Everybody, you should be here when doors are open. Be faithful. Faithful with your service and your abilities. Faithful with your tithes and your offerings. You ought to put it right here. Don't send it to that guy on TV. Amen. Put it in your church. Amen. Amen. He wants that. Well, there are some things that that are personal. Work out your own salvation with some fear and trembling. Amen. Ask God, may I do it? When Peter said, Lord, may I step out? Jesus didn't say, you all come. He didn't say, you all come. He said, come on, Pete. Yeah. Come. We need the body going in the same direction, but not all of us doing the same service. In this body right here, we don't need but one pastor. Amen? Amen. I don't need no other pastors. We got one. Amen. But we need to follow the direction of the pastor. Yes. I got up this morning. I said, hey, I got another hour. Woo! But I had to get up through my big old number 16s on the floor, set up the bed, and my goal right now is to get to that little room over there. And I needed every bit of my membership to go with me. I didn't need the same service, but I need them all at least to go in the same direction. And I didn't say, all right, feet, get me over there. That ain't his service. I said, come on. I mean, feet, ears. I did say, oh, go get me feet. Yeah, I did. I said, I didn't say, ears, get me over there. No, I said, feet, get me over there. And I got over there. I don't know what part you play. See, I don't play any part. Well, you need to be asking. You need to say, Lord, can I, may I? And when you do, remember this. Make sure your God's in it. It will never be contrary to this. Second thing is, you'll never have no fuss with the pastor over it either. You might surprise you what it is right now that's welling up in your being that you would like to do, like to start, like to get involved in, whatever. And you're afraid to ask God to do it. You can't. There's no Bible against it. If you just asked, and then you go to the preacher and say, Pastor, you know, here's this thing right here I've been wanting to do. It might surprise you to find out he said, you know, I've been praying for somebody to get burdened like that. And you know, man, this is what God wants you to do. Then do it. Amen? Amen. Spirit of survival, spirit of revival, God's plan. It's not hard to know the will of God. really, it's simpler than you think. For instance, we all know somebody, if you walked up to them today and you said, hey, you need to come to church with me next Sunday. You need to come. Here's what they'll say to you. I know I need to go to church. They've just told you, I know the will of God. I know it's the will of God for me to go to church. They know that. A lot of people know that. You know somebody ain't saved. You walk to them and say, boy, I'd like to see you get saved. Can I show you something? And they'll say to you, I know I need to be saved. What they're telling you is, I know the will of God. I know I should be saved. It's not hard to know that. It's harder to do it. But even harder, gentlemen, is to stay in it. Once you got it figured out and doing it, to stay in the will of God is even harder. But Peter said, Lord, you bid me to come? Come on, Pete. Nobody else, just Pete. He found his spot and he took his walk. So number one, make sure you got God's word on it, okay? Amen? Number two, don't expect everybody in the boat to go with you. Everybody in the church ain't gonna go with you. Everybody in your home or whatever it might be is not going with you. Don't expect that. When Peter jumped over the boat, started walking, the whole crowd said, well, go too. Nobody went with him. Water walking is kind of a lonely calling. There are things like that. Talking with Brother Nixon. He's doing the nursing homes, doing it Saturdays and whatever his board member was telling me. He probably ain't got people beating the door down wanting to go help him. But he's supposed to. Right. And whatever this thing is that you're doing for God, and if nobody helps you, don't get all upset over it. Just do your part. My ears say, nobody's helping me listen. Well, they can't. Right. Once in a while, my hand can help them a little bit. Yeah. Don't expect everybody to go with you. Expect criticism. Anytime you do something new or different, you will be criticized. You will put a bullseye on your back. Something will shoot at you. If it ain't the world, it's the devil. If it ain't the devil, it's the flesh. Watch it. I'm talking about your own flesh. You'll criticize yourself. Sometimes I'm the worst critic. And the flesh of your brothers and sisters in the church. The flesh. Hey, we all got it. I catch myself sometimes criticizing something I got no business saying anything about. Amen? So number one, make sure you got God's word on it. Number two, don't expect everybody in the boat to go with you. When Peter quit the ministry back in John 21, I think it is, he said, I go fishing. I like that. I go fishing. But he wasn't talking about the kind of fishing I do. He was quitting the ministry and going back and fishing again. When he took that step, that was not a step of faith. That was a step of the flesh. And you take a step of the flesh, folks will follow you then. You never walk alone when you make a decision for the flesh. There'll always be somebody following you. But now the step of faith, very seldom somebody follow you, but it doesn't matter. You heard him say come, didn't you? And that's all you should have to have. Third thing, don't expect... Yeah, I got them all backwards. Oh, no, I don't. It's the fourth thing. Third thing. There it is. Don't expect good weather. In other words, don't wait for good weather to do what God wants you to do. Don't miss your moment. Pete says, Lord, is that you? Yeah. How about you bid me to come and walk on the water to you? Come. Well, can we wait? Where is this? This is the fourth watch tonight. It's going to get daylight here pretty soon. Can we kind of wait till it gets a little more daylight? That ain't what he said, did he? Hey, can we wait? pretty windy out there. Storms are pretty bad. Can we? I'll do it, Lord. I want to do it. You know, I do it. I asked. I want to do it. But can we wait until things kind of settle down? He didn't do that either. Jesus said, come. He just moved. I wonder how many people are in hell today because they missed their moment. Spirit of God touched their heart, whether it was in a Sunday school class and the teacher said, who'd like to have Jesus, and it smoked their heart, or in a children's church and the children's church teacher or the storyteller said something and smoked their heart, or an invitation the pastor gives and God smoked their heart. But they said this, not now, later. Yeah. Or some soul winner's witness to them at work or somewhere, and God smote their heart. God said, take care of us now. And they said, I will, but not now, later. The biggest lie the devil does in church services, he will not sit on your shoulder and tell you that's a lie. That preacher told you a lie. He can't do that to you. He'll never convince you that because you got a Bible in front of you. And he's been preaching. But he'll say this. The preacher's telling you the truth. And you need that. But just not today. Some other time. Not this moment. Wait till Mars and Jupiter lines up just right. Then you can do it. Wait till that moment. Are you hearing me, church? I wonder how many people are in hell today because the Christian didn't move when God said move. Didn't witness when God said go hand that person a tract or call them up or pray for them. And you didn't do that, didn't move when the Spirit of God said move, and only God knows what was going on there. He don't nudge you like that all the time, but when he does, there's something needs to be done. Amen? The flesh. When Jesus said, all right, Pete, come on, he getting ready to jump out of the boat, the flesh would probably give him 100 reasons why he should not be doing this. 100 reasons. This is not a wise thing. By the way, if you got the Lord's word on it, it's a faith. If you don't have his word on it, it's foolishness. Amen. But the flesh will tell you 1,000 things. But there's one reason why Peter should have jumped out of that boat and started walking. Because Jesus said, come. The truth of the matter is, he did not walk on the water. He walked on the word, come. Yeah. Amen? And then my last thought, don't wait for the perfect moment. No, because you'll blow it. Move when God says move. And my last point, don't expect a mistake-free performance. You're going to make your mistakes. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. The first time is always different than the 10th time you've tried it. Yeah. When you first learned how to tie your shoes, you finally tied your shoes. You probably took 10 steps to come untied. But now you can tie your shoes with your eyes closed. Me, I tie them and never tie them again. I slide my feet in and out of them. That's the way to do it, right, guys? Yeah. Some people say that's lazy. I think it's just smart. Yeah. Don't expect a mistake-free performance. The Lord don't expect it from you. That's why he tells us that if we confess our sin, he's faithful just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's why he says in 1 John 2:1, my little children, talk to the same. These things are right unto you that you sin not, but if any man sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. All of God's pencils have got erasers. Well, mercy and grace. You go back and you erase it, and if you read the pencil, it'll say, do it again. Right. Amen. Sometimes I have messed up. And I said, oh my, and I'd be so ashamed to talk to the Lord about it. And he'll say to my heart, he'll say this, but that don't surprise me. I knew what I got when I got you. It didn't surprise me one bit that you'd done that.
Yeah.
Just get in there and do better now. I mean, come on, you guys that play sports, you got the ball, and you're dribbling, they're double pressuring you, and you step out of the bounds, the referee blows a whistle on you. You look over at the coach. Well, the coach knows you didn't do that on purpose. And it wasn't your goal. Your goal was to put it in. He knows that. Can I tell you, there's a coach in heaven that knows. Yeah. That's why when I used to be vice principal, that thus meant used a disciplinary at the school. See, that's what I did. And a little kid, about third grade boy, got in trouble. Brought them in there, and I always say, why'd you do it? Some neat reasons why kids do what they do. I thought I knew them all, but I learned a couple. But but once in a while, here's what they'll say. Mr. Button, Preacher Button, I don't know why I did it. And the truth is, they don't know why they did it. And I'm a big boy now. Sometimes I do some stupid things, and when you ask me, I don't know why I did it either, Lord. I don't know why. He said, I know why, it's your nature. That little fellow don't know why, it's just his nature. But thank God there's a God that'll forgive you and help you. And say, learn from that. Next time you feel pressure, watch where your foot's at next time. Amen. Don't expect a mistake-free performance. But let me say this to you about old Pete. He walked on the water. I don't know how far he went, but far enough to be a walk. He started looking around, got his eyes off the Lord, looked at the situation. and he fell and started sinking. But he wasn't a dummy. Immediately he said, "Save me, Jesus." Yeah. Hey, if you're in a sinking mode right now, hey, don't be dumb. Say, "Lord, help me. Do something. Move. Amen. Lord, I need your help." Don't try to justify what you're doing. Right. And then Jesus said to him, "Oh, thou of little faith." In my mind, it was like this. Here's my little pebble with his little faith. When did you doubt? Well, that's why, because he's the little stone, little pebble. But he never was a man of great faith. He had little faith. Look what he did with little faith. You don't take great faith, but it just takes a little speck of faith. It's just making sure our faith is directed in the right direction. Amen. With that little faith that Peter had, just a little faith, he walked on the water. But when he was walking, he had his faith directed right. But when he got off and looked at the boisterous winds is when he sunk. Amen. Hey, the Bible says, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus." Right. He's the author. He's the one that started this race. Right. And he's the finisher. He's the one that's going to finish it. And just keep your faith on him, no matter how great. "Oh, Lord, make me a great man of faith." Hey, I don't know about all that. Just make sure my faith's on you. Amen. So I can do something for your glory. I think there's some good stuff I just told you. Amen. I hope you listen to it. If you're in one of them sinking spells, you're in a good place. Yeah. When you sink, he's right there with you. You're okay. Yeah. Some great men of God sank, had sinking spells. Amen. You read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, you see some of the great men of faith. Noah, a man of faith, but he had a sinking time. Yeah. Abraham, a man of faith, man. Talk about a man traveled trusting God, but he jumped the gun, and him and his wife done some scheming for a son, and that's our problem. We have problems with that today with the all of this nonsense going on. Yeah. David, God said he's after my heart. He really was. Anytime David got wrong, got sideways, or made a mistake, David was a quick confessor. Yeah. You pin David down, he didn't make no excuses. He confessed and got things right. Yeah. Now, the king before him, Saul, was a great excuser. He'd always made excuses. He didn't. That was his biggest problem. Are you hearing me? Amen. I mean, come on, there's Solomon, a great man, but he spent a lot of his life very foolish. Yeah. Right. He told you that. He got done and said, "Hey, here's all the matter. Here's your whole duty. Fear him. Keep his commandments. That's your whole duty." Right. So you can be just as wise as Solomon right there. Just live that way. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So you'll have some sinking time. But I want to say this in closing. Do something. Ask God, "Let me do this." And then if you got his word on it, then do it. Don't expect a bunch of people to go with you. You don't need it. You just need his word on it. Amen. When you go, expect criticism. It's going to come. When you go, don't wait for a perfect moment. Just do when God says do and go. He understands the moment. And when you do make a mistake and mess up, don't throw in the towel and quit. Just turn around and look to the coach and say, "I didn't mean that." He says, "I know. But it was wrong. Forgive me." He says, "I'm faithful and just to forgive you all unrighteousness and cleanse you. I can do that. Now get back in there and do what you wanted to do for my glory," Jesus says. Time of miracles. We ain't seeing things today because we aren't asking for them. Some say, "Well, those are the days of miracles." Well, they're still the days of miracles. Those are Bible days. Well, this is the Bible and this is today. We're living Bible days. The problem is we've got to quit looking at situations and start looking at the Savior. And God, do something then. There's revival in that. Get out of your survival mode. Get in revival mode. "Is that you, Lord? Can I come?" What? Come. Jump out and start walking. Do something for the glory of God. Pastor George.
Let's stand with our heads bowed, please. We've just heard some real good instruction. I believe God's spoken to some hearts with it. Good question. What do you want to do for God? What are you waiting on? Perfect weather? Everybody else to go with you? Or be no criticism of you? That's not going to happen. What do you want to do for God? What do you want to do for God? Father, I pray you'd bless this message to our hearts. May each of us analyze it, think about it. And Father, may we just direct our gaze on you. And Lord, when we hear you say, "Come," yes, move toward you in the thing that we want to do for you. bless the invitation now. If there's somebody here unsaved, we pray that they'd come forward and let us take a Bible and show them how they can be saved and know if they died today, they'd go to heaven. But Father, there are so many of us, Lord, that we're sitting and doing too much watching somebody else get out of the boat and do something. We need to get out, Father, and do what you've asked us to do. I pray you'd bless the invitation now in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll say